David, King David, said a long time ago, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul will make its boast in the Lord. The humble, not the proud, not the stuck on themselves, but the humble will hear it and rejoice. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt His name forever. At my request, before we left a month ago, I asked our worship pastor, Rick Alvarez, and our senior associate pastor, the preacher for the last 4 weeks, Jerry Smith, to put together a time of worship for this first Sunday that we would be back. You know, in heaven, preachers are going to be without a job. And if we get a little restless, a little, well, what's next about worship down here, we're going to have a hard time with heaven for eternity, because that's what's going on around the throne 24/7. If we could input our time frame into eternity. But in Isaiah chapter 6, and then again Revelation chapter 4, hundreds of years, if not a couple thousand years intervening, around the throne and in the Lord's presence, they're singing the same song. Nonstop, repetitively, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. It's just really, really good for us as the Lord's people to be intentional about time being set aside where we're doing nothing other than blessing His name and praising His name and remembering His greatness and saying out loud, Lord, we trust You. You don't have to give us all the answers to our myriad of questions. You are who You are, and You have proven Your faithfulness to us. And so our response to that is to say, we praise You, and we trust You. We praise You, and we trust You. David continues in Psalm 34, in verse 4, I sought the Lord, and He answered me and delivered me from all my fears. They looked to Him and were radiant, and their faces will never be ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear Him and rescues them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. How blessed is the man. How blessed is the woman. How blessed is the person who takes refuge in Him, who runs and hides in the Lord. He continues in verse 15, the eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous, and his ears are open to their cry. Righteous in the sense of trying to do what's right. Wanting to do what's right. Trying to do what's right. And nobody perfect. Nobody without sin but the Lord Jesus. He lives in us and he lets us know when we've stepped out of line. But our want to is to want to please him. The Lord's eyes are toward the ones wanting to do right in his sight. And his ears are open to their cry. The righteous cry. And the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. Many are the afflictions. Many are the troubles. Many are the seasons of sadness. Many are the times of complexities and even confusion. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. But the Lord delivers him out of them all. Coming back from the Northern Rockies, with a word that I believe is important to you as an individual. It's you singular, not you plural. And here it is. Don't lose your perspective. Trouble or troubles are friends of ours. Now, don't throw anything at me. Troubles are friends of ours. The enemy will say to you, because this trouble hit you, because you're walking through this kind of trouble, or because that happened to you, that means that God is absent from your life. That means you've blown it so much that he's turned his back on you. That means that you're just a loser. That's what that means, because you're having trouble or you've been through trouble. But the Lord says to his own, if you hadn't walked through that, you wouldn't know not just how strong in a generic sense I am, but you wouldn't know how strong is my love for you. Amen. Yes. David said, as a king, anointed king, man after God's own heart, described in many ways and in the superlative degree from heaven to earth, This is my chosen one, David. But David would say, this poor man cried, and the Lord heard me. And he rescued me from all my troubles. Trouble has a way of taking the fluff out of a perspective. It's theory until you go through trouble. I love you, Lord. I trust you, Lord. I believe in you, Lord. You're great God. Okay, fine. Good theory in the right direction. But you don't really believe that. You don't really know that you believe that until you have no place else to turn but to. And you've tried this friend, and you've tried that resource, and you've tried that line of logic, and it's left your heart empty and broken and dying and desperate. And then you, as a poor man, as a poor woman, turned your heart to the Lord. The word for cry, cried out, that can mean inarticulate groanings and utterances and exclamations. Not even words. This poor man cried out, God, help me. Help save me. And I've come to know that he hears my cry. And he delivers. But does it mean that he had all the money in the bank, had all his enemies dead, had everything that he ever wanted all right in front of him? No, it just meant the Lord got him out of that fix, out of that mess, rescued him. And there is a perspective that comes to a man or woman who knows when there wasn't any way humanly possible for me to survive it, to endure it, to make it through, to be able to be brought out the other side, other than that somehow God in his mercy and in his power rescued me. There is a perspective on life. There is a perspective with regard to people and the promises of people and the resources of this world, the presence of them or the absence of them, that comes with trouble. When the Lord has drawn near to you, when you were crushed in spirit, broken in spirit, when you didn't have anything else to give, nothing to give except a desperate situation, and the Lord wasn't offended by that. The Lord drew near to you in that. And you are here this morning sucking air. You didn't kill yourself. You didn't take your life. And there were points in time. I said, folks, well, how could somebody kill themselves? You know, I want to say to somebody who has that attitude, you haven't known real sorrow. Paul said, I contemplated even death. Thought that death would somehow be a relief from this. You've got to be easy on this and back away from someone who has struggled and the reality of I can't go on living like this, so whatever's on the other side has got to be better than this. You better watch it when you condemn that. And it's not the best choice, not the right choice, whatever, but I just want to say there are valleys and caverns of sorrow and suffering and abandonment and loneliness and rejection, and the demons pile on to that particular perspective. And the only one who can help is the one whom David cried to and whom you and I cry to, Lord, help me, save me, crushed in spirit. When you know that he has the power to do that, it's a perspective that is to be a cherished treasure in your life. You can have folks walk into your life, walk out of your life. You can have folks have the economy doing things, the political situation blowing up, all kinds of stuff going on. But when you know, when you as a poor man, a poor woman, cried out unto the Lord, he heard you then, he hears us now, and he'll hear us tomorrow. Don't lose your perspective. Don't sell your perspective for the theories of untested people. There are trinkets and there are shallow ideologies and thoughts. And we have spent 4 weeks one ridge over from the Yellowstone Club. Now, we weren't in the Yellowstone Club. I'm telling you, there was one ridge over, and there's a far distance, but one ridge. But the Yellowstone Club is where Bill Gates and the movie star, a lot of just. But you know what's really scary? What is unsettling and would cause, and you could list the movie stars and the rock stars with all of their stuff, what would cause them to consider even taking their own lives, as many have, is what do you do when you've got $100 million cash in a bank or in CD somewhere and you are still hollow on the inside? I know some of us will say, well, just give me a shot at it. Let me just sip it away. But what if? What if all the stuff in the world can't satisfy the ache in your heart? I'll tell you, David said this, Not this rich man, not this rich king, not this famous, this poor man cried. And heaven heard me, delivered me, brought me through. I'm standing on the side. I'm clothed and reasonably in my right mind, but I'm through. I'm not there where I used to be. Oh, my brothers and my sisters, the shallow, trinket, fascinated, transient-oriented culture that we live in needs your perspective. Don't lose it. Don't lose it. Well, the musicians, the singers, and thanks to all of you, along with Pastor Rick, the singers and the instrumentalists for this morning. You preached the message. You brought the message. And there's enough gospel and truth in those words that we sang to last a lifetime. Next Sunday, the Lord gives us another week and gets us all back here. Shirley and I would like to take some time in the two services to just go over with you some things. We're calling them life lessons from the Northern Rockies. We've been married. We're in our 40th year. Okay, we hadn't hit it yet, but we're working on it. You know, you celebrate the 40th at the end of 40, right? So we're in our 40th, and we were together. Nobody came to see us. We had no family. We had no friends. It just kind of worked out that way for one solid month. Can you imagine? 40 years of marriage and one solid month. During that time, the kids gave us these little things that can keep up with your steps and your heart rate, and it translates into miles, and just to see how far. They wanted to make sure, I guess, that their adults, their aged adults, weren't parents, parentals. They call us their parentals. We're not getting so old and inactive so it gave us something to count. Well, during the course of the month of July, on mine, I walked 168 miles. By this the night on, that's counting going to the kitchen, that's counting brushing your teeth, that's counting, whatever. But a lot of that was traipsing around in the wilderness areas, about in the edge and around Yellowstone National Park. Not through a windshield, but looking right out, we saw eagles, we saw climbed up, saw mountain goats, elk, moose, bear. Did see a bear, a few. But we learned some things. We had some things pressed back into it. We took some pictures and little videos. I don't know if Jerry can make it work, but we did some things and got some little snapshots. There's some things about marriage. There's some things about life. You know, you can go a long way if you just take one step at a time. Do you also know that there are some things that you can't really see and really experience unless you walk it? Now, we're going to come, but we're going to show you some pictures. But you can't smell what me smell. You can't feel the wind. You can't see the twitch and the eyelashes of the mama moose looking back at you 50 yards away. You can't see or feel the trout in the stream. You say, well, great. What does that have to do with anything? It is what it has to do with anything. The steps of a good man or good woman are ordered by the Lord. And get this, and He delights in their way. The Lord delights in the path that He has put us on. We can check out, we can pull back, we can decide, I don't like this path. I'd rather see it through somebody else's eyes. I'd rather take the bus instead of having to walk this out. But there are some things that the Lord is showing you. There are some insights that He is giving to you through what you have seen and are seeing, what you have heard, that are unique to you. And it is a delight to Him what He is allowing you to walk through and to experience. Sometimes it's a little unsettling. Sometimes there are surprises. Sometimes there's way more up than there is down. But if you don't quit, if you don't back off, if you don't stop it, drop it, lose interest, oh my goodness, the things that the Lord will show you on your journey. So we'll come back, talk some about that in next week. And I just, you know, I'm not trying to be a tour guide or travel host or whatever. It's just, you know, they're one of the things that we really did learn is that on some of those hikes that would be 6 miles in and 6 miles out, 8 miles in, 8 miles out, you can't do all that in one walk. I mean, you can't do that without stopping. You got to get your breath. You got to get your breath back. But if you had to keep on walking out of breath, if you just had to keep on crunching it, make it happen, you wouldn't enjoy it. And eventually you just try and go back. So we ended up having to stop, sit down on a log, sit down on a rock, and catch our breath. Now, this is another big piece of the thing. I don't think it's necessarily that there's some of us who don't care about serving God really anymore, or that we don't love people anymore, or we don't have drive in us to want to climb anymore. It's just that we're tired. It may be something that happened 20 years ago or 30 years ago. It may be something that doesn't have anything in the natural to do with physical tired, but a soul tired. I feel like the Lord's putting some things in my heart. A deep rest for a deep tired. To really know you, what would we need to really know about you? Not the stuff you put on a resume. But where have been the places in your journey, in your life, where in those spots where it was a dark place and He brought you out? You aren't there. You survived it. You endured it. But what about that? And as a result of what you went through there, it has colored your attitude. It's adjusted. It's affected your attitude about things in the present or things in the future. Just stay away from it. It isn't necessarily that you don't love people or that you haven't forgiven people. It's just that what you went through wore you out. And there's been a part of you that has not yet been replenished. What if in Matthew 11, when Jesus said, "Come to me, all you who are what? And heavy laden, and I will give you what? Rest." medical conditions can wear you out. Marriage situations that can end up in divorce, or the struggle, and maybe it stayed together, maybe there's been a healing, but a season in which it wore you out. A work situation, a professional situation, where you found yourself in a setting and you tried and you did everything you knew to talk your way through it and work with people and negotiate, but it came loose, it changed, whatever. You got through it. You didn't die. It wasn't terminal, fatal. It didn't kill you, but it wore you out. Shirley and I'd start out on those hikes, and there might be, 3,500 feet of elevation in the course of a five-hour hike. But that means it's pretty much a steady grind all the way up. We'd carry little, little fanny packs of things and have little snack deals, have water, got a water purifier. So if we ran out of water, we'd go down into the stream and, purify the water and fill up the water bottles. All of that is about the necessity of just knowing that you got to. We wanted to get to the top. We wanted to finish it. We wanted to end the thing. We wanted to summit. But if we didn't get rest along the way, we'd want to turn around and go home. Thinking about you, praying for lots of your faces and lots of the situations just would come up in my mind as I was pondering these things and realizing, some of you, some of the Alamo City family, lots of us, have been through some seasons in our lives that had the power, had the capacity to wear you out. Maybe you're in the middle of that. So what is this saying? I just believe it's saying that the Lord knows we're tired. And He knows that unless we get rested in those categories of our lives, we may never re-enter. Therefore, the potential is lost within us. So what does He say? He doesn't say repent for your tiredness. He doesn't say you did all these things wrong and that's why you're... He just said, come to me. You come to me. But you got to identify yourself as being weary and one of those that's heavy laden. And what does He say? I might, or one day I will give you rest. We'll talk some more about this, but we spend too much time worrying about what I'm not doing. I need to be doing this. If you're not doing it because you're tired, then quit worrying about it. Quit trying to figure out what I'm supposed to do next. You just get rested. You just get the rest the Lord has given, and then see what happens. The trail is still in you. The heart is still in you. You just need the rest of the Lord. How many would say, that just kind of makes sense to me? If it doesn't make sense to you now, just hang on. Because it will make sense one day. And instead of writing myself off as a loser, as a failure, as a quitter, as a whatever, what if the issue is not any of that? It's what Jesus specifically says. If you're weary, do the things in life that can wear you out. What did David say in Psalm 23? He restores my soul. The tired is not physical tired. That's a symptom. The tired is a soul tired. My mind is tired. My emotions are tired. Well, that just kind of makes us all just roll over and go to sleep. I don't want to leave you there, but what I do want to leave us is at the place that what if What if one of the blessings that the Lord wants to give to you as his child is to meet you at the place of your personal weariness? Lord, show me. And just ask him, Lord, as we get in, Lord, show me what that is. Show me. And then for him to do that. Lord, thank you for our time together today. Thank you for the wonderful worship and the sense of your presence as we sang. Thank you for what we've heard your Spirit saying to us even as we worshiped. And thank you for the word from your word this day. Lord, I pray that to my brothers and sisters, for all of us, the perspective that suffering, that sorrow, that trouble has brought our way, the perspective to take away the fluff, to bring it to reality, I pray that you would cause us to cling to that perspective and to know that in the end and through it all, even when we were not sin free, even when it was maybe before we even knew you as Savior and Lord, but somehow still you rescued us because you loved us. Don't let us blow that off, Lord. Don't let us lose that perspective. Thank you for your many deliverances, Lord. Your many rescues, Lord. Thank you for what that says about what we mean to you and what that says about our hope in you for the future. In Jesus' name, would you say his name with me? In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen and amen.